Hey, our video guys are killing it the month of September. Give it up for David and Ryan and all those guys doing a great job. Hey, John Madden goes to our church. Give it up for Josh Henry. Wasn't that awesome stuff? My goal has always to pastor a church that I would actually want to go to. And this is that. I mean, we have got John Madden. We got a 1957 Corvette over here. Handmade, loaned to us by Terry Carmer. Give it up for Terry. Thank you so much. Awesome stuff. I think that car is getting more attention than the Indy car we had last week. It's amazing stuff. Hey, we're glad you're here. We're in a series called Joyride, Choosing Joy in Your Journey. Anybody would like more joy? There's about a third of us that would like more joy. The rest of us have enough. We don't need any more. How many would like more joy? All right. Now, how many had a great week last week or didn't even have a great week last week, but you chose joy anyway? Let me hear from you, somebody. All right. Praise God. We're talking about choosing joy on the journey. We're studying the book of Philippians and going verse by verse through this very short book in the New Testament. Remember, Paul wrote this letter from prison. And he uses the word joy or rejoicing or joyful 16 times in this little book. Let me encourage you, if you haven't done yet, we're challenging you to read the book of Philippians every week during this series, because this is more than a series. This is a season. I think there's far too much of the spirit of heaviness in our lives, too much of the spirit of heaviness in our culture. And we need to replace that with the oil of joy. Come on, somebody. Now, last week when we started this series, I had so many people tell me at the car show and at the food trucks and all that after the service, Pastor, this is so timely, so timely, so timely. And it's amazing things happening. What I'm learning is that more and more pastors are preaching about joy right now. It's everywhere. So this is not just a word for our church. This is a word from God for the church of Christ. It's time to choose joy, right? Are you ready to choose joy? All right, we'll keep working on that then, all right? Hey, before we get into the message, let me just give a couple shout outs. Last Sunday, Pastor Allison and her husband Brian Barrera started a brand new ministry at our church for kids, Grace Kids, 5th through 8th grade. It's called Grace JV. And last week, between the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service, there were over 100 5th through 8th graders at Grace JV. Come on, give it up for Pastor Allison and Brian. And then this past Wednesday, we had our very first Generations service. So we had this vision that once a month, we're going to provide a service. It's all old hymns, more of a traditional style of worship. And so every second Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m., we're having this service. So we did our very first one last week, and it was just fantastic. The Spirit of God was there. It was strong, and it was so encouraging. So a big shout out to Pastor Brian McBride for making that happen. Give it up, Pastor Brian. Praise God. All sorts of good stuff happening in the fall. The details are in your worship guide. Let's go on a joyride, everybody. So in this series, we're going through the book of Philippians. And the theme verse of the book of Philippians is Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. I want you to read it out loud with me, if you don't mind. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Oh, sorry. Let's try it again. Rejoice in the Lord most of the time. Oh, all right, let's get it right this time. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Seriously? Always? Now, I'm glad that this is not me. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I want you to notice that Paul is making a statement here that joy is not a feeling. Joy is a choice. And here's the big idea of this entire series is that I can choose joy. I can choose joy regardless of my circumstances. Regardless of how things are going on in my life, regardless of how difficult the circumstances I'm walking through, I can choose joy. God wants us to have joy. God is a God of joy. Happiness Some of you need to hear this. Happiness is not looking for you. You got to go get it. You got to choose it. And last week we started with this, that I choose joy when I choose to be grateful. You see, I can choose joy by choosing to be grateful for the good things that God has done in my life. So last week we talked about the number one key to joy is gratitude. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So we're going to pick it up in week two. Today I want to talk to you about the number one joy sucker. All right? So last week was the number one key to having more joy. Today I want to show you how to fix the holes in your joy bucket so that it will stop sucking the joy right out of you. Okay? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you a little bit of a preview. I heard of a church in a state not to be named in America. These two churches were across the street from one another, and they got into a bit of a church sign war. So the Catholic Church started it when they said, all dogs go to heaven. And the Presbyterian across the street responded and said, only humans go to heaven, read the Bible. To which the Catholic Church responded the next day, God loves all his creations, dogs included. To which the Presbyterians responded, dogs don't have souls, this is not open for debate. Church signs are very powerful things, by the way. So the Catholics said, Catholic dogs go to heaven, Presbyterian dogs can talk to their pastor. To which the Presbyterian said, converting to Catholicism does not magically grant your dog a soul. To which the Catholics responded, free dog souls with conversion. So the Presbyterian said, dogs are animals, there aren't any rocks in heaven either. The Catholics started all over again by responding, all rocks go to heaven. What are we talking about today? What's the number one joy sucker? It's found in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says, do everything without... You just feel the joy just get sucked out of the room just when you said that word. Paul says, do everything without complaining. Complaining is the number one reason people lose their joy. If you want to have joy in your life, you've got to stop complaining. Here's the problem. Complaining is so easy to do. It's so much part of our culture. And if we're really honest, we should all be very concerned with our culture. There is so much negativity. There is so much complaining. Is there any doubt as to why there's such this feeling of despair, this feeling of hopelessness? It's because we suck the joy right out of ourselves by complaining all the time. I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's okay. Pastor Rick Warren talked about this. He gave four types of complainers. The first one are the whiners. And whiners say things like, well, that's not fair, or it's not fair, or injustices of all kinds. Kind of reminds me of this dog who found out that he wasn't going to the park one day.
We're in a car. Okay. Stop it. Stop interrupting me. No, stop interrupting. No, stop. Walter.
All right. Some of you just need to put that on your phone and play that when people start complaining. Don't we sound like that when we whine? All right, here we go. The next kind of complainers are the martyrs, and their favorite phrase is, no one appreciates me. You know, they like to throw pity parties, so they're complaining about that. And then cynics use a lot of sarcasm. They say things like, well, nothing's ever going to change. You know, it's always been the same. Song of Ecclesiastes, nothing's new under the sun. blah, 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 and they're complaining like that. And then there are the perfectionists. Perfectionists, everything has to be right all the time. Nothing's ever right for this person. And they like to say, is that the best you can do? Complaining is easy to do. And let's be honest, there's a lot to complain about, right? There's the weather, the traffic, your spouse, your kids, your friends, your boss, the dog dander, the cat pee, the movie you just spent 10 bucks to see and you hate it, the meal that arrived cold in the restaurant, the fast food place that got your order wrong, the elevator that took too long, the reality television show that booted off your favorite contestant, Andrew Luck's retirement, the government and taxes, and on and on and on and on. There's a lot to complain about, right? But why do we complain? Why is it so easy to complain? One researcher gave a variety of reasons. One is we like to avoid taking responsibility. So rather than taking responsibility for ourselves, we blame other people by complaining about other people. Student brings home a bad grade from school. Instead of taking responsibility, they say, oh, it's the teacher, or the person's got it out for me. Come on, somebody. Or we like to brag about our superiority, right? So we complain because somehow putting other people down, complaining about other people makes us feel better, right? And then we complain to control or manipulate other people. Some people like to control a room by complaining. Then we excuse poor performance or behavior. And really, I think this is a big key because a lot of people complain because they don't want people to look at them or actually realize, hey, I'm the problem. I'm the one with the issue, so instead we complain about other people. And then I think this one's a big one. We really just get in the habit of complaining. Complaining becomes a habit, and it's a habit that a lot of people in our culture do. So what's the big deal about complaining? So what? I got to get stuff off my chest. You don't you know that the squeaky wheel gets the grease? I got to vent, right? You know, I just need to rant for a minute. Well, here the Bible says, Paul says, do everything without complaining. Do you know what the Greek word for everything means? Everything. And the Bible's serious. Don't complain. Why? Well, remember, when the Bible gives us a command, it's not because God's trying to control us, it's because He loves us. God's plans for all of us is that He loves us, right? And so when He says don't complain, guess what? It's because complaining's bad for us. It's bad for us emotionally, it's bad for us mentally, it's bad for us physically, and ultimately it's bad for us spiritually. Let me give you a little bit of research that supports it, because science supports the Bible. I like saying that, so I'm going to say it again. Science supports the Bible. Let me give you a little bit of research here. The Chicago Tribune, that great theological foundational place. That's sarcasm. Complaining releases cortisol, the stress hormone, which raises your blood pressure and blood sugar. Frequent complaining can lead to heart disease and diabetes. So one of the biggest issues in our community, we found in our demographic survey, is stress. And one of the reasons we're so stressed is because we complain so much. Stanford University did a study that found that complaining shrinks your hippocampus, which is the part of your brain critical to problem solving. It's also one of the central areas in your brain that Alzheimer's destroys. Now, I highlighted this because I think this is powerful. Complaining has a similar effect on your brain as Alzheimer's. I did not say if somebody has Alzheimer's because they complain so much. That is not what I just said. I want you to hear my heart. But the research is saying that that complaining has such a powerful effect on our brain like that. And then a half hour of complaining every day physically damages a person's brain, whether you're the one griping or you're the one listening. See, complaining doesn't just hurt you when you complain. It also hurts you when you listen to it. So that means that we ought to start thinking about what we watch, what we listen to on the radio, the news programs we watch on television, which, let's be honest, 90% of these days is not about facts and figures. It's about complaining, right? Some of us have some people in our lives that do this all the time, right? And the reality is, it's not just hurting them, it's hurting us. The research goes on to say that complaining not only alters your brain for the worse, but also has serious negative repercussions for your mental health. Complaining can literally kill you. That gives new meaning to one of my favorite movie quotes of all time.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Come on now, that was funny. You're killing me, Smalls. So whenever you find yourself in a room full of complainers, just pull that movie quote out. You're killing me, literally, all right? Here's a couple more. When a griper enters an environment, they curse it. Lean in and get this. I'm not speaking of profanity, but of establishing a negative spirit. It happens every time your negative words and attitude drain any hope, expectation, and brightness and replace it with an atmosphere of pessimism, hopelessness, and discouragement. All right, spread that joy all the way up here, guys. All the way up and around me. Thank you, guys. Thank you for spreading joy around the church. All right, we're getting ready for an illustration. All right, thank you so much. Okay, so look at this. The research says that when you do that, you're actually changing the environment. It's literally sucking the life out of the environment. And I'm going to go ahead. A negative disposition curses anything it touches and makes it worse. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and apologize in advance for this next piece of research because it's a little crass. And I want you to know I'm not using it for its crassness. I'm using it because I think it's a very impactful illustration. People don't break wind in elevators more than they have to. Venting anger is similar to emotional farting in a closed area. I'm just going to let that linger. See what I did there? All right. It sounds like a good idea, but it's just dead wrong. Are you with me? It's negative. It hurts. And if we could make it much more serious, the reality is that complaining is a sin. Complaining is a sin. Complaining is dumb however you slice it. You know, so what we're going to do today is when you leave, we're going to give everybody a dumb, dumb sucker. All right, I want you to put it in your pocket, put it wherever to remind you that when you start to complain and other people start to complain, it's a really dumb idea and it's sucking the joy out of your life. But we've had a little bit of fun so far, but it gets really serious here that complaining is more than just a bad idea, it's a sin. Do you know that complaining is the reason that the children of Israel never entered the promised land? Remember, if you read the Old Testament, the people of God were delivered out of Egypt, the Bible says, with a strong hand. All the 10 plagues brought the greatest nation, the most powerful nation in the world at that time, Egypt, to its knees. God did that. And then on their way out, I'm going to part the Red Sea and you're going to walk across. Oh, that was pretty awesome. And then they're on their way to the promised land and God provides manna, a superfood that kept them healthy. And all they did was complain. And here's what the Bible says about that, that in Numbers chapter 11, soon the people began to complain about their hardship and the Lord heard everything they said. I think we should pause for a moment and remind you that the Lord hears everything you say. I said the Lord hears everything we say. And then the Lord's anger blazed against them. Why was God upset with them? Because of their complaining. And then in Exodus chapter 6, Moses reminded the people, listen, you're not grumbling against us. You're actually grumbling against the Lord when you complain. That's serious, right? And so God had a plan for his people to come out of Egypt and go into this promised land, this land that God promised Abraham. And he says, I want you to have this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, which meant it was great, it was rich, it was awesome, it was paradise. But they never got there. And the reason they never got there was their complaining. So So as a result, they spent 40 years doing this in the desert, making laps in the desert. They were tired. They were wandering. They were spent. How many know that's exactly what complaining does? It leads you to a desert experience. Somebody's got to hear this today. Complaining sucks joy out of you. It sucks life out of you. And what it leads to is a desert experience emotionally, relationally, and spiritually. I like what Christine Kane said in a tweet about this. She said, "It was their own murmuring, grumbling, complaining, fear, doubt, and negativity that kept the children of Israel out of the promised land. Their enemies couldn't stop them. The devil couldn't stop them. They stopped themselves." Guard your heart, guard your mouth, guard your eyes. Listen, if you feel your life, you feel like you're in a spiritual desert right now, that there's this dryness, this emotional emptiness, perhaps your relationships are difficult and hard right now, or maybe life or work, everything's just a grind, and really your goal is just to make it through another day, to endure everything. Perhaps, maybe, just maybe, we should ask ourselves, am I complaining? And is that robbing me of the joy of the Lord in my life? Because the reality is, complaining robs you of every good thing in your life. Now, I want to illustrate it this way. Let's pretend that this thing is a joy sucker, all right? And all of these balloons represent the joy in our lives, okay? Good stuff. The Bible says every good thing comes from above, amen? Okay? And so this thing is the joy sucker. And I was going to have somebody dressed up as the devil to come out and suck the joy out of our lives, but I think we blame too much on the devil. This is actually us. When we say, "I can't believe those Republicans. What a bunch of idiots. Those Democrats are crazy." All right? "Can you believe the weather? You know, stick around. It's really bad. This is really bad." That must have been a bad complaint right there. All right, we complain about our job and our boss. We complain about our family. And what we're doing is, it's sucking the joy out of our lives. And we think it's no big deal because everybody's doing it. But here it comes, we are taking, you know, I go to church and Pastor Wayne preaches about gratitude. And boy, I feel better. It's really awesome. But then what happens? By Tuesday, the joy's gone. You know why? Because we got this joy sucker of complaining. Complain, complain, complain. We go to work. What are people doing? They're complaining. What are we doing at home? We're complaining. And here's the deal. And we wonder why life is so hard and so dry. Some of us got holes in our joy barrel. God's given us joy. God wants us to have joy, but we're allowing something to suck the life out of us. So how do I stop complaining? That's really what I wanted to get to here today, because according to one medical doctor, the typical person averages one complaint for every 60 seconds of conversation. Okay, and then another study I read says that the average person complains 15 to 30 times per day. We complain a lot. I complain a lot. I'm preaching to me today. Am I preaching to anybody else today? We complain a lot. So how do we stop? If Paul says do everything without complaining, then how do we stop doing that when it's so easy to do and it's so much part of our culture? Well, it's kind of like trying to say, stop thinking about this pink elephant. Don't think about it. Don't think about a pink elephant right now. Right? Or the video game that this is reminding you of at this moment. Okay, don't think about a pink elephant. Well, guess what you're thinking about? You're thinking about a pink elephant. And you will continue to think about the pink elephant until you replace it with something else. This is called the law of replacement. Now get this. I learned this in Freedom Group that a lot of you are learning right now in your groups, in Freedom Group. And the idea is I got to replace that negative thought with something positive. In Freedom Group, we learned you got to replace the devil's lies with God's truth. So if the devil's lying to me and saying that you're a loser, you're lost, you're blah, 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 no, I replace it with what God's word says. God says I'm a son. God says I'm not a slave anymore. Come on, somebody. So I got to replace in my head, in my brain, the negative with the positive. It's called the law of replacement. So it's not about just not complaining. We got to learn to replace it with something better, the opposite spirit, the opposite thing. Does anybody know what the opposite of complaining is? It's gratitude. We got to replace complaining with gratitude. Now, you're going to find out throughout the book of Philippians that joy and gratitude, they're not kissing cousins, they're identical twins. It just goes together. Gratitude is the opposite of complaining. Complaining is the number one joy sucker. Gratitude is the number one key to having more joy. Because how many know when you're complaining, it's usually because you're not very grateful. Let me put it to you this way. You can't be ungrateful and joyful at the same time. You can't be grateful for your job and then complain about your job every day. You can't be grateful for your spouse. You can't be grateful for your spouse if you complain about them every day. You can't be grateful for your church if you complain about it all the time. We in America have a lot to be grateful for, don't we? We live in arguably the greatest nation in the history of the world. And yet, do you know what Americans are known for most when we travel? Complaining. Complaining's a habit for most of us. And habits are only broken when we replace the negative with something else. So we want to take out the negative speaking and replace it with the positive speaking. So if I want to stop complaining, here's the takeaway. I've got to replace complaining with gratitude. I've got to choose joy by choosing to not complain and instead be grateful. Some of you say, well, Pastor, there are real issues in my life. I've got real injustices. I've got real situation. My boss really is a jerk. Guess what? Tomorrow, I'm gonna post a short video, how to complain the right way, all right? Because there is a right way to complain. How many know you can complain to God without complaining about God, all right? So I'm gonna post that tomorrow. I want you to be watching for that. There may be real problems. There may be real issues in your life, but it's the way that you look at them that makes the difference, right? Here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, this small and temporary trouble, this stuff, this negativity that's going on in your life. I heard Joyce Meyer do a message about complaining a couple days ago. And she said, I was preparing for this message about complaining for 8 weeks, so I started to keep a list of all the negative things that happened in my life that I could complain about. And she said, one of the things that happened was I sprained my foot because I got my big toe caught in my underwear. And they said, you know, all these other things that kind of lighthearted like that to some very serious issues that happen. But the reality is, if we go from the right perspective, these things, this trouble, Jesus said in this world, you are going to have trouble. But Paul says these are small and temporary things. How many know that's the right perspective? He goes, we're going to suffer. It will bring us tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. So we fix our attention, not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. What is seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Paul says the key to not complaining is instead of looking around on what you see, look up to what you can't see. Look up to heaven. Look to God. Worship God. Honor God. Look forward to an eternal glory that is coming your way. I'm preaching better than your amen in here today. So Paul commands us, Tim Keller put it this way, if Jesus didn't complain when he received a life infinitely worse than he deserved, how can I complain while I experience a life infinitely better than I deserve? Jesus is our example, right? We want to be like Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. Jesus, the Bible says, open not his mouth. Jesus had every right to complain, completely sinless, completely innocent, and yet he was crucified. For who? For me. This jerk right here. This idiot right here. This dummy right here. Paul says you got to look at life like that. It's not even about this life. It's about the next one. And you got to replace complaining with gratitude. Let me tell you a story that illustrated this very powerfully in my life. A few years ago, I went on a missions trip to Africa, went to an island of Zanzibar off the coast of Africa. And this island has an incredible history. David Livingstone, the missionary who was there, a lot of people trace the abolition of slavery in the continent of Africa to David Livingstone and this island of Zanzibar. It's a fascinating story. So there's this church here that's dedicated to his memory, and you have all of these tombstones of all of these Christian leaders and missionaries who preached Jesus. Okay, now that island is 95% Muslim. And so what has happened is these Muslim squatters have taken over the church's property. And so one particular Sunday, we're going to the services here at David Livingstone's church. And so in order to get to the church services, we had to walk through this graveyard, this Christian graveyard of all these Christian leaders, and this Muslim population literally squatting on the property. They had knocked over headstones. They had set up shops selling different things from, you know, little beads to whatever. Some of them were sitting on top of the gravestones. I'll never forget this image I have. I saw this one man clipping his toenails while sitting on this gravestone. I'll be honest, before I ever got to church, my spirit is offended. Man, my dander is up. I am upset. I want to complain. How dare you treat something so sacred in such a dishonoring way? So I'm all riled up, and then I get into service, and there's 400 or 500 spirit-filled Christians. They're not complaining about the squatters. They weren't complaining about the persecution. They weren't complaining about sometimes the Muslims throw rocks on top of the tin roof to interrupt them while they're worshiping. They weren't complaining that somebody had broken in the church a few weeks before, gathered all the church furniture at the middle of the church and burned it. What I walked into was a church filled with joy. And they were singing and they were dancing better than me, better than any of us really. And all of a sudden, the joy of that place just washed over me, and I was so convicted. I just started crying. I just started weeping. You know, I remember one of the pastors with me says, "Wayne, are you okay?" I said, "I'm great." And I just joined in worshiping and praising with these guys because they weren't looking what was going on around them. They were being grateful for the blessings of the Lord, the gratitude of salvation, and Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven. Come on, somebody say amen. We got to learn to replace complaining with gratitude. So Paul goes on to say that in Philippians chapter 2, he says, do everything without complaining and arguing. And if you do, this is what's going to happen. No one can criticize you. This is powerful. See, when I stop complaining, the Bible says the critics will stop. All the negativity will slow down in your life. And he says you're going to live clean. We don't realize that how much our mouth has to do with our hearts. He says you're going to live clean, and then you're going to have innocent lives as children of God. Here's what happens. Instead of being negative and I choose gratitude, I choose positivity, the Bible says he's going to restore my innocence as a child. That's good right there. And then he says, you're going to shine like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. That is good news right there, because our culture is so negative. When you find a person who is genuinely positive, they stick out like a sore thumb. And the contrast is so obvious. Paul says, you're going to shine like a star in the middle of a dark night. How many know it's so different to be positive in this negative, ungrateful world? But if I choose to be grateful instead of a complainer, if I choose to honor God instead of being critical, I'm not going to be a put-down person. I'm not going to be sarcastic. I'm not going to be cynical. I'm just going to be grateful. The Bible says you're going to start to shine like a star in the heavens. And guess what people do at stars? It's so easy to join the darkness and just blend in with everybody else. But Paul says if you stop complaining and replace that with gratitude, you're going to start to shine. Guess what things do to the light? People are attracted to the light. People are attracted to that. Come on, somebody. If you'll get this today, this will change your life. This will change your relationships. This will change your atmosphere. This will help you maintain the joy of the Lord. Here's the takeaway today. I choose joy when I choose not to complain. It's my choice. I choose today whether or not I'm going to stop complaining and have more joy. It's really my choice. And today, each of us has got to make up our mind. So let me ask you a question. What would happen if in your place of business, tomorrow, all the complaining stopped? What would happen at your house if you all made a decision, all the complaining is going to stop? What would happen in this church if all the complaining stopped? You know what happened? We would shine. Come on, somebody. We would shine, the Bible says. Now, this is easier said than done. I get it. It's so ingrained in our culture. So let me give you a challenge, okay? And remember, this series comes with a joyride guarantee that if you'll come all 6 weeks and you'll actually do the challenge that I give to you, you're going to have more joy at the end of those 6 weeks than you have right now. So last week, we issued the 21-day gratitude challenge. So here's today's challenge. Why don't you have a no complaining day? Just 24 hours. Say, Pastor, why not a week? Trust me. Just do it a day. All right? And so the idea is, for one 24-hour period, I'm not going to complain about anything. Now, some of us, the only way we're going to complete this challenge is go all tape face, you know, and do it this way. If that's what it takes, then do it. Here, some of you might want to take it to another level and ask somebody to hold you accountable for not complaining. Because let's be honest, some of us are so used to complaining, we don't even realize we're doing it all the time. So maybe somebody you live with, somebody you work with, and please don't let this lead to an argument. Okay, please, please, please. So you're doing it in the right spirit. Hey, I give you permission to tell me when I'm complaining. And when they catch you complaining, you say, start the clock, because you just start the 24-hour period over again until you can go 24 hours without complaining. How many are getting this? Now, another way I saw that somebody created to stop you from complaining is get you a mason jar and make it a complaint jar. And every time you complain, put $2 in it, $2. Now, if you want to get real serious, put $5, $10, whatever. And at the end of the week, however much money is in the jar, you give the money to the person that you've complained about the most. Can you imagine that conversation? Here's some money. Why? I can't tell you. Are you hearing me? Some of you are going to have to give the money to your boss. Some of you would have to give the money to your spouse. Some of you have to put it in an envelope and mail it to President Trump. President Trump's going to get a lot of mail. Are you hearing me? Whatever you do, Paul said, do everything without complaining. Just stop it. And what's going to happen is joy. Real joy. I'm not talking about an emotion. I'm talking about something that's on the inside of you that is there regardless of the circumstance. That's what God wants for us. That's what God wants for you. That's what God wants for me. And don't let the devil lie to you and say, that's not possible. Because the reality is, if it wasn't possible, it wouldn't be in the Bible. So can we bow our heads and close our eyes for just one moment? And how many would be honest with yourself and honest with God? And I'm going to be this should be the easiest altar call of all time, because I'm going to start by raising my hand. And when the preacher raises his hand on the altar call, it should be easy for the rest of us. If you say, God, forgive me for complaining, raise your hand. With your hand raised, would you just do business with God right now? Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for complaining about my job, my relationships, money, whatever. Forgive me, God. I recognize that that is sucking the joy that you want me to have out of my life. And the Bible says complaining is a sin, and I don't want that to be part of my life in any way. So God, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm sorry. And God, help me to replace it with a spirit of gratitude. Help me to replace it with thankfulness of the good things that God has done in my life.